I read an article in the newspaper, and it said, I think at that time they were saying there were 75 million homeless refugee people in the world on the planet Earth. Oh, I mean, the population of Canada is 36 million people, 1 million indigenous, so 37, give or take, you know, a couple hundred thousand or whatever. To have that many people, refugees, because refugee means you're running for your life from someone that wants to kill you or drive you out of your homeland. You know, that's, I've felt that when my mind goes to that place of refugee. And I feel for those people. Those ones. So to go through these stages of learning about love, respect, courage, and honesty. When I talk now, people say, oh, you're so wise, elder. You know, it's because I have wisdom, which means I have teachings that were passed on to me. And I've reasoned what's going on in my mind and accept my own reasoning. Because when you have wisdom, you know what the truth is to you. You know, by going there and finding out. This is one of my teachers taught me this. If you hear something about someone you care about, and he says, like a rumor, you go immediately and see that person and tell them what you heard. He says, you got to find out the truth. Otherwise, you can lose a relationship because you listen to a rumor. He says, if you're successful, people will talk about you. If you're poor, people will talk about you. So you always look for the truth. And you know what happened and the impacts of it. And you can talk about it in terms of, let's find a solution. Let's look for a way to end the suffering. That's wisdom. That's a wise person that says, let's look for solutions. Let's not get stuck in the problems of the past. Let's acknowledge him and say, yes, you're truthful, that happened, and it's terrible, and it shouldn't happen. And then we say that, then we focus on what's the solution. To stop the babies from crying in a way of suffering. Because babies cry because their diaper's dirty or they're hungry, you know, and we satisfy that need and they're happy again. But if they're crying because of fear or hunger or pain, physical pain, that's not right. So we need to find the solutions. I need to contribute to solutions. And to do that, you know, I need to have humility to understand, like my grandmother, ah, squisha, ha, achut. Don't you dare think you're better than anyone else. That's humility to me. To be myself and not to think I'm better than others because of who I am. You know, to have that humility. And understand that I too suffered from aggression. It impacted my life. Over half of my life I suffered, you know, because of aggression. And that suffering was, you know, anger, fear, depression, frustration, hate, you know, such a powerful word, that hate. you know, so I was impacted by the aggression that was put on me. And I used to say the Canadian government aggressed me. No, it wasn't the Canadian government, it was an individual that struck me, said mean things to me, didn't care about me. They were individuals. That's a wisdom for myself that I carry today. You know that there are evil individuals, there were in my life, and that the best medicine is for me to forgive them, to let them go, so they no longer have power over my life, of how I think and act and live. Because they had my power, my life, you know. And they didn't even probably know it or think about it, but in a way I was giving it to them. My coping skill was to have a drink or have some drugs to deal with the stress that's on my mind. So the coping skills, as indigenous people, we were taught how to cope with stress, with trauma, how to recover, how to heal. If someone hurt you so bad physically or with words that you'd go see the healer or the knowledge keeper to help you to heal, to be original again. And that's what I now, I have coping skills. When I get disturbed, a simple act of lighting my smudge in my smudge bowl and the scent of that medicine entering my system magically helps me deal with that feeling I'm having at that moment. Or pick up the hand drum or the rattle and sing a song. Helps me to cope with stress. Go to the sweat lodge. Light the fire, just listening to the fire crackle while I'm waiting for the grandparents to heat up, to get red. Red like me, you know, and I feel myself, that's a coping for me. Just sitting outside by my fire, watching it, adding wood, looking at the color of the flames. You know, it's a coping mechanism for Sahilthit. When I live by beautiful water and I go out and bathe in the water, it's a coping mechanism. And it helps me reset my mind. So I'm here now to get out of the past and to be here now. So we do have ways of coping. And I've been recently telling people, because this is what I reasoned, that many of our ceremonies are no-talk therapy. So you can go through it and it'll help you. You not don't even have to talk about it. It'll help you to change. And with the series, you can talk about it later just to get better understanding, to have knowledge. About how come you got messed up? How come you got angry, fearful, depressed? You go do your coping skill ceremony. Sometimes it's sitting down with a couple of friends over tea and talking about something that disturbed you. And just, you know, just be truthful. And not try to convert everybody to you, whatever you believe, but just let people know who you are. Being honest, you know, speaking your truth. I've learned that over years. I still get disturbed and I see aggression. But I must not let it rule my life. One of my nephews told me, you know, some of these aggressions are thousands of years old. Some of them are new. I know between individuals they can be new. You know, or we disagree with each other and there's conflict. We'll fight over our disagreement. But if we sit down and have a cup of tea and talk about it, then we can come to a resolution. And I'd hear this term when they fix conflict in an indigenous model. They say, we're going to talk about this and we're going to come to an agreement, then we're never going to talk about it again. The teachings of indigenous way. Because these, what I've been talking about, you know, love, respect, courage, there's one more I want to mention, and that's generosity. That word puslatch, and they say potlatch today rather than puslatch. An elder told me, we were riding on a ferry together. He says, you know what potlatch means? And I says, no, I mean, it's a ceremony, naming or whatever. He says, the original meaning was to give without charge. So when you would go to the naming ceremony and they'd give you gifts, they're not charging you, not charging anyone they want to. They're generous with you and they're thankful that you come to witness the naming of their son or their daughter or their grandchild or their friend. Generosity. To give without charge. You know, it's such a beautiful teaching. And I was told, you know, when you give away with real sincere good feelings about giving away, it's all going to come back to you even tenfold. That means you'll get 10 times as much. So when you're generous, you're putting out this energy of creating relationships. And I made my first hand drum. The teacher told me when I finished, and I finally finished because I had to start over again a couple of times. And I'm looking at it, and I'm proud, and I'm just feeling so good. And then he says, you know, you have to give that away, right? No. I have to give away something beautiful I made. Yeah, and he says, you give it away. So I gave it away, and that's when one of the aunties said, don't worry, it'll come back. You know, in my life, I've probably received over 10 hand drums as gifts. Right now, I got, I don't know, maybe 8 hand drums. Most of them given to me, I also make them now. But to be generous with your voice, with kind words, with love, with encouragement, is a good thing to stop aggression. The medicine for aggression is to be generous, to give them the time to listen to them, the aggressors at times. Unless, of course, they're wanting to kill you. You know, the best thing to do is just leave then. Don't stay there. But in everyday life, you know, we learn this generosity, like, here's some food, here's whatever, you know, like, enjoy yourself. You know, and so let's follow these teachings. Because remember, I was saying to counter aggression, if we have love and teachings. The teachings basically are coping mechanisms, how to cope with stress, with things that disturb us. What can we do to be ourselves again? Because in my life, there was times I wasn't myself. I was an angry bird. I was a depressed bird, a fearful bird, frustrated. You know, so. But once I found how to love and respect and have courage and be honest about who Sahilthit is, listen to wise people with their knowledge and their teachings, you know, and to have humility. And to remind myself to speak the truth, to be generous. That's where I am today. Still suffer at what I see and hear, but now I have coping mechanisms, coping tools, And I encourage you to find them for yourself and find positive ones, because anything that distracts us that doesn't benefit anyone is negative. Like I could get so involved in TV, for instance, that I forget about the rest of what I'm supposed to do. It is distracting me, constant noise, excitement, feelings, you know, from what I'm watching on TV. Or eating bad food, junk food. It's not a good way to cope, you know. And I've done it, believe me, I've done both of those, TV and junk food, and booze and drugs. It's not good coping. Once I got into moving my body as a coping skill, like running, oh, my life changed. I mean, simply I became myself, truthfully myself at that moment. Not wanting to be faster, better than anyone, just enjoying the movement across the countryside or down the streets, coping. Then, of course, I learned the ones that our people used. They used running and bathing for thousands of years, but they used the smudge, the music, the ceremony, the rituals to cope. Because there's going to be challenges throughout our life. And we must accept them and then find the solution to fix those mistakes of aggression, of theft, of harm. Find a way. Teach, don't scold. Heal, don't punish. So that's my podcast about crying children and crying babies, because I've heard them. And the way it's going to stop is when us adults put our minds together and do the right thing for all the babies in the world, all the children in the world, when we as adults become responsible and have wisdom and humility and learn the truth. That's going to be the change. I want to thank, you know, this world of podcast where I can free myself too by talking about my feelings and beliefs, you know, and letting you know. And I want to inspire you and motivate you to look at yourself and to come to your truth. You might disagree with some of the things I said, and that's okay. I disagree with people too, but it has to come down to the core of, do I have inner peace? And if you don't, that means there's something that you need to deal with and find a way. There are ways. So thank you for listening to Teachings in the Air today. Wish you a wonderful life for the rest of the year. Bye-bye.
What do you want back, and how you propose to use that?
So the behaviors, choices, and actions reflect an individual's responsibilities to self, families, and collective whole.
It sounds your mind, your conduit. As an artist, you're not the creator. You're just a tool. You're just part of that. You're just one of the brushes, or you're one of the colors. You're one of your water. You're the support. Whatever is required to create something, you're just part of that. If you have an idea in your head about what something should look like, you will be guided as to how it's going to look.
Good morning, it's Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. We just danced our way awake with Soul Makasa.
Yeah, I'm a young black man who uses art to champion and celebrate blackness, as well as creating art that showcases black men as comprehensive, emotionally intelligent human beings.
Right now, we are going to hear a spoken word rap piece by Slam Poetry winner JB, the First Lady. That is Lady Johnny Proby singing Don't Quit, and here at Speak Up, we do not quit. Love, laughter, argument, and encouragement. The words are too few for the essence of you. And the show is just one of the ways that you can take feelings of pain and transform them to love and recognition. Today, we're exploring senior issues through digital media and the creative arts. My guests are Leslie Riemann, the director of the 411 Center, and Joel Flynn from Podstream. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, welcoming you to the Friday Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon What You've Heard show. We have conversations about social issues, culture, and creative arts events, potent samplings about special months like Health Month, Black History Month, Women's Month, Nutrition Month, and more. See you Friday at 10 a.m.
Stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.
Hey,